भागवत सेव्या
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी।
सो टुडे वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 एंटाइटल्ड क्रिएशन चैप्टर 16 एंटाइटल्ड हाउ परीक्षित रिसीव्ड द एज ऑफ कली टेक्स्ट 26-30। So there are 5 verses here, but we'll just read and repeat the first one, which is on the board here. This is text 26. Satyam shocham dayakshante.
Satyam shocham dayakshante.
Satyam shocham dayakshante.
Satyam shocham dayakshante.
Tyagah santosh aryavam. Tyagah santosh aryavam. Shamodamas tapah samyam. Shamodamas tapah samyam. Nitiksho parittah shrutam. Nitiksho paratih shrutam. Satyam shocham dayakshante.
Satyam shocham dayakshante.
Tyagah santosh arjavam.
Tyagah santosh arjavam.
Shamodamas tapah samyam. Titiksho paritah shrutam. Satyam shocham dayakshante.
Satyam shocham dayakshante.
Tyagah santosh arjavam. Shamodamastapah samyam. Titiksho paratih shrutam. Word for word meaning: satyam,
satyam,
truthfulness,
truthfulness.
Shocham,
shocham,
cleanliness,
cleanliness.
Daya,
daya,
intolerance of others' unhappiness,
intolerance of others.
Shantihi,
shantihi,
self-control,
self-control,
even if there is a cause of anger.
Tyagaha,
magnanimity,
magnanimity.
Santoshaha,
santoshaha,
self-satisfaction,
self-satisfaction.
Ajavam,
ajavam,
straightforwardness,
straightforwardness.
Shamaha,
shamaha,
fixing of the mind,
fixing of the mind.
Damaha,
damaha,
control of the sense organs.
Tapaha,
trueness to one's responsibility.
Samyam,
indiscrimination between friend and foe. Titiksha, tolerance of the offenses of others. perfection of all knowledge, proper execution, possession of all objects of enjoyment, joyfulness, immovability, fidelity, fame, worship, pridelessness, being as the personality of Godhead, eternity, and many other transcendental qualities which are eternally present and never to be separated from Him. The personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all goodness and beauty, Lord Shri Krishna, has now closed His transcendental pastimes on the face of the earth. In His absence, the age of Kali has spread its influence everywhere. So I am sorry to see this condition of existence. So there is a long purport. We'll read and discuss paragraph by paragraph. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Dhyananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Nadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Pripatam Aham Vande Shri Gurum Dina Karanam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavnebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So purport by Srila Prabhupada. Even if it were possible to count the atoms after smashing the earth into powder, still it would not be possible to estimate the unfathomable transcendental qualities of the Lord. It is said that Lord Anantadev has tried to expound the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord with his numberless tongues, and that for numberless years together it has been impossible to estimate the qualities of the Lord. The above statement of the qualities of the Lord is just to estimate His qualities as far as a human being is able to see Him. But even if it is so, the above qualities can be divided into many subheadings. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the third quality, intolerance of another's unhappiness, can be subdivided into 1. Protection of the surrendered souls, and 2. Well wishes for the devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord states that He wants every soul to surrender unto Him only, and He assures everyone that if one does so, He will give protection from the reactions of all sins. Unsurrendered souls are not devotees of the Lord, and thus there is no particular protection for everyone in general. For the devotees, He has all good wishes, and for those who are actually engaged in loving transcendental service of the Lord, He gives particular attention. He gives direction to such pure devotees to help them discharge their responsibilities on the path back to Godhead. By equality, the Lord is equally kind to everyone, as the sun is equal in distributing its rays over everyone. Yet there are many who are unable to take advantage of the sun's rays. Similarly, the Lord says that surrendering unto Him is the guarantee for all protection from Him. But unfortunate persons are unable to accept this proposition, and therefore they suffer from all material miseries. So even though the Lord is equally well-wishing to everyone, the unfortunate living being, due to bad association only, is unable to accept His instructions in toto. And for this, the Lord is never to be blamed. He is called the well-wisher for the devotees only. He appears to be partial to His devotees, but factually the matter rests on the living being to accept or reject equal treatment by the Lord. reply of Bhumi Devi to Dharma. So Dharma asked different questions to Bhumi Devi that you look, that it looks like that you are suffering. So here Bhumi Devi is replying. In these particular verses we have 40 qualities of Krishna mentioned. We can see that. And what Bhumi Devi is saying, Mother Earth is saying, that she is feeling separation from Krishna. So it is said that when Krishna was present on this earth for around 125 years, so he used to walk on the surface of earth. So pretty much all the time Mother Earth was in contact with Krishna. All pure devotees are always in contact with Krishna. Even in so-called separation, they always remember Krishna. And as we hear that remembrance of Krishna is non-different from being in presence of Krishna. But apparently we see that sometimes Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he leaves Dwarka and other places. So the devotees present in those places, they are in separation. Whereas Mother Earth is always in constant touch. But actually the real fact is that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Yo maam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pashyati tasya aham na pranashyami sa cha mai na pranashyati. Krishna says that whoever sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, for him I am never lost and he is never lost to me. So that's the fact. So it's up to us whether we want to be in presence of Krishna, in association of Krishna or not. So it's totally up to us. So here we see that Mother Earth, she's describing this, the pain of separation. She says, so I am sorry to see this condition of existence. And she's sorry to see that, oh, Krishna, now that Krishna has left, he has apparently left, according to ordinary vision, he is not present. So, due to this absence, there's this rise of these various kings who are posing as kings, but they are actually demons. And they are like a burden to Mother Earth. So she's feeling that separation. So that's very, it's very tricky to understand that we always hear, you know, that this Vipralamba Bhav is the highest, this separation is highest. But it's very hard to understand that apparently these devotees in separation, they seem, it seems like they are suffering. Then how is it highest? If something is high, everyone wants happiness, ananda. We say that in spiritual world, the existence is Satchidananda. Everything is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But then we also hear that Vipralamba Seva is highest, then you know it seems that it's contradictory. That devotees, you know, when Krishna left from Vrindavan, all the gopas, gopis, they were like dead bodies. Almost just somehow breathing, somehow keeping their life together. So it seems a contradiction, but actually it's not. So acharyas explain, they give an example like how to understand this pain that is caused by this separation. So they give an example like if there is ice and you put a very frozen, very hard ice on your skin, any part of the body, and you keep it there for some time, the sensation that would be there soon, it would be like burning sensation. If you put hard frozen ice for some time, but actually is it actually burning us? No, ice cannot burn you. It's cold, it's extremely cold. So same way, this separation from Krishna, it apparently it looks like it's giving misery to devotees, but actually that's the highest bliss. So that's how we can understand. And slowly, slowly, as we surrender to Krishna, these secrets are revealed to us. So here, as we see in this first paragraph that we just read, here Prabhupada speaks about that, how Krishna is equal to everyone. And then we also hear there is another contradiction that we hear, oh, Krishna is equal to everyone. Then we also hear that he is very kind to, especially kind to devotees. So is that not partiality? But no, Krishna says that one who surrenders to me, to him he takes care very nicely. So samoham sarva bhuteshu na me dveshyosti na priya. That I am equal to everyone, I have no friends and no enemies. But although he is equal to everyone, ye bhajanti tu mam bhaktya. But those who worship him with devotion, for them, mai te teshu chapyam. For them, he gives himself to them. So this is very logical also. Like we are equal to everyone, maybe equal to everyone, but if someone shows special love to us, so we would also reciprocate to him in the same way. And if someone wants to hit us, we would try to keep a distance. You know, we won't go near and try to embrace them. So that's very logical, and this is very personal. And Krishna is called the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's why he exhibits this personality, this personalism, in a supreme way. So that's why, although he is equal, but still he is partial to those who approach him with love. And they, in Srimad, so this is discussed in Bhagavad Gita, as we just discussed that verse, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, in chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita. Then further it is elaborated in Srimad Bhagavatam, canto number 7. So first chapter, the whole chapter is dedicated to this point, that how Krishna is equal to everyone. So there, we see Bhagavad Gita gives many principles and Srimad Bhagavatam expands these principles. So there it's mentioned that, okay, Krishna is equal to everyone, then why did he side with Indra and attack the demons and kill the demons? But we see that how, although Krishna kills the demons killed by Krishna, they attain salvation or liberation. So that proves that he is actually not not partial. He gives his benedictions to everyone. So that's why this verse from third canto, which describes that Krishna has so many qualities that who can not be attracted by him? Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jigam sapaya yadapya sadvi leve gatim dhatriuchitam katonya. So there it says that who can be more merciful and compassionate than Krishna? He gave such high position to Putna, who actually approached Krishna to kill him. So this is amazing. So if someone approaches to kill us, we would be angry at that person. But here Putna approaches Krishna to kill him, and he gives him the position of a mother, of a nurse in spiritual world. So kamva dayalum sharanam rajema. So who is more merciful unto whom I can take shelter of? So that's what Krishna's qualities are, so attractive that everyone gets attracted to him. So we'll read little more here, couple of more paragraphs. So Srila Prabhupada continues here. The Lord never deviates from His word of honor. When He gives assurance for protection, the promise is executed in all circumstances. It is the duty of the pure devotee to be fixed in the discharge of the duty entrusted to him by the Lord or the Lord's bona fide representative, the spiritual master. The rest is carried on by the Lord without a break. The responsibility of the Lord is also unique. The Lord has no responsibility because all His work is done by His different appointed energies. But still, he accepts voluntary responsibilities in displaying different roles in his transcendental pastimes. As a boy, he was playing the part of a cowboy. As the son of Nanda Maharaj, he discharged responsibility perfectly. Similarly, when he was playing the part of a Kshatriya as the son of Maharaj Vasudev, he displayed all the skill of a martially spirited Kshatriya. In almost all cases, the Kshatriya king has to secure a wife by fighting or kidnapping. This sort of behavior for a Kshatriya is praiseworthy, in the sense that a Kshatriya must show his power of chivalry to his would-be wife, so that the daughter of a Kshatriya can see the valor of her would-be husband. Even the personality of Godhead Sri Ram displayed such a spirit of chivalry during his marriage. He broke the strongest bow called Haradhanur and achieved the hand of Sita Devi, the mother of all opulence. The Kshatriya spirit is displayed during marriage festivals, and there is nothing wrong in such fighting. Lord Sri Krishna discharged such responsibility fully because although he had more than 16,000 wives, in each and every case he fought like a chivalrous Kshatriya and thus secured a wife. To fight 16,000 times to secure 16,000 wives is certainly possible only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, he displayed full responsibility in every action of his different transcendental pastimes. The 14th quality, knowledge, can be further expanded into five subheadings, namely intelligence, gratefulness, power of understanding the circumstantial environments of place, object and time, perfect knowledge of everything, and knowledge of the self. Only fools are ungrateful to their benefactors. The Lord, however, does not require benefit from anyone besides himself, because he is full in himself. Still, he feels benefited by the unalloyed services of his devotees. The Lord feels grateful to his devotees for the unsophisticated, unconditional service and tries to reciprocate it by rendering service, although the devotee also has no such desire in his heart. The transcendental service of the Lord is itself a transcendental benefit for the devotee, and therefore the devotee has nothing to expect from the Lord. On the assertion of the Vedic aphorism "Sarva Kalva Idam Brahma," we can understand that the Lord, by the omnipresent rays of his effulgence called Brahma Jyoti, is all pervading inside and outside of everything, like the omnipresent material sky, and thus he is also omniscient. So here it's again mentioned, this personality of Krishna, that is personalism, that in his various roles he acts accordingly. So when he is in the village of Raja, he acts like a cowherd boy and he perfectly discharges his duties. He wakes up, he has to milk the cow and goes into the forest. And then when he is in Dwarka, there he is present as son of Devaki and Vasudev as a Kshatriya, and then he also discharges all his duties there. He goes to his assembly hall, takes care of all the political matters. He has his assistants, his advisors, Uddhava and others, Satyaki. So he takes advice. Then he has to fight with other kings who are causing danger to the citizens. So like that, this is personalism. So whichever position he takes for his pastimes, he exhibits, and he sets an example. We are forced into different positions, but Krishna, by his will, he takes all these positions. But definitely he sets this example that we should follow him. where we saw that one of the qualities what we have to fulfill our responsibility. So if we follow, if we fulfill these duties, then actually we can see these qualities of Krishna would be revealed. So here we saw that even in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, we see various places these qualities are described. So what is the purpose of describing these different qualities of Krishna? There's Parashar Muni, he says, he talks about six opulences that, you know, Aishwarasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasya, Sriya, Jnana, Vairagayos, Chaiva, Shannam, Bhava, Itingana. So the six opulences, strength, beauty, his fame, renunciation, his knowledge. So all these six are main, his main opulences or qualities. Then in Nectar of Devotion also we see that 64 qualities of Krishna, they are described. Then further in Bhagavad Gita we see chapter 10, it's opulences of the Absolute. There's I think around 72 opulences or qualities described, that how he's among the immovable, is like, you know, Himalaya mountains, like that. All these different opulences are described. And here in these verses that we are reading today, 40 qualities are described. So why does Krishna do that? He describes his own qualities and his devotees are describing his qualities. So why does Krishna have to do that? So does he have to, you know, feel proud at seeing? Or, you know, like people, they show off. So it looks like Krishna is like a showing off his qualities. See, I have this. Or among fishes, I am this. You know, it's like showing off his power and strength and qualities. And his devotees, they are like, you know, the politicians, they try to say, oh yeah, I will do this, see my qualities. And then they are assistants of these politicians. They campaign on his behalf and say, oh yeah, yeah, he will do this. So here we can see similar situation. Krishna himself, he enlists his qualities, and now Bhumi Devi, other Narad Muni, so many devotees, Shukdev Goswami, they are describing. So it looks, externally it looks like that situation. That why are they describing these qualities? So that we can convert people into Krishna consciousness and attract them. And you know, all these purport also we saw, so full surrender to Krishna. So Krishna wants full surrender. So why is that? So the point is to understand that we are eternally related to Krishna, and somehow or other we have forgotten that position. So now Krishna is so merciful that by these various conversations, these various texts, these scriptures, he tries to remind us about his personality, about how wonderful he is, so that we can work on reconnecting to him, uncovering that forgotten relationship. Relationship can never be broken with Krishna, because that's us, you know. We are the spirit soul, we are not this body. Body is temporary, but the spirit soul is permanent, and it's permanently, it's eternally part of the supreme soul, that is Krishna. So we have forgotten that. So now Krishna does all this work to remind us. So and we see that for any relationship to be established, first we see the qualities in the other person. Of course, when we are born, we can't exactly, you know, we are forced to accept some relationships. Okay, this is our mother, this is our father, this is our brother, sister. Then somehow we live with them, whatever qualities they have. Then when someone wants to get married, then they have to choose very nicely. They see the qualities in the other person. We see all these different, you know, when someone has to get married, they see these are different advertisements, and you see, okay, these are the qualities, qualifications. In order, because we want to establish a relationship in future, so we want to see what are the qualities in that person. So same way Krishna says that, okay, see my qualities. Would you not like to develop a relationship with me? See, so many qualities I have. And here it says, Prabhupada says here, even if you just smash the earth into powder, whole earth, you smash it into powder, you may be able to count all the atoms there, all these small grains, but you won't be able to count Krishna's qualities. So, it's like amazing. Even if you crush, like for example, this table, how many grains would be there? What to speak of the whole planet? So, that's what Krishna says, that I have so many qualities. But in human beings, we can see only limited qualities. And still we are attracted so much to them. So, how much we should be attracted to Krishna? So, that's the point. So, I'll read a little further here. There's a little bit left in this purport. So, Prabhupada continues here. As far as beauty of the Lord is concerned, He has some special features that distinguish Him from all other living beings. And over and above, He has some special attractive, beautiful features by which He attracts the mind of even Radharani, the supermost beautiful creation of the Lord. He is known, therefore, as Madan Mohan, or one who attracts the mind of even Cupid. Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu has scrutinizingly analyzed other transcendental qualities of the Lord and affirms that Lord Sri Krishna is the absolute supreme personality of Godhead, Parabrahman. He is omnipotent by His inconceivable energies and therefore He is the Yogeshwara, or the supreme master of all mystic powers. Being the Yogeshwara, His eternal form is spiritual, a combination of eternity, bliss and knowledge. The non-devotee class cannot understand the dynamic nature of His knowledge because they are satisfied to reach up to His eternal form of knowledge. All great souls aspire to be equal in knowledge with Him. This means that all other knowledge is ever insufficient, flexible and measurable, whereas the knowledge of the Lord is ever fixed and unfathomable. Srila Sukha Goswami affirms in the Bhagavatam that although He was observed by the citizens of Dwarka every day, they were ever increasingly anxious to see Him again and again. The living beings can appreciate the qualities of the Lord as the ultimate goal, but they cannot attain the status quo of such equality. This material world is a product of the Mahatattva, which is a state of the Lord's dreaming condition in His Yoga Nidra, mystic slumber in the causal ocean. And yet the whole creation appears to be a factual presentation of His creation. This means that the Lord's dreaming conditions are also factual manifestations. He can therefore bring everything under His transcendental control, and thus, whenever and wherever He does appear, He does so in His fullness. There's a little bit more left. So here we see that how it's described that Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean and he is like in his yoga nidra. So in his dreaming stage, there's different, so many innumerable universes come out of his pores and out of his breathing. And during his one breath, the whole universe exists. And when he breathes in, the universe is destroyed. It's unmanifested at that stage. So we see that these different stages of existence are there. So it is described in Srimad Bhagavatam that on the material platform there are three stages of existence. So one is the wakefulness, that you know we are awake, as most of us are, hopefully, in the Bhagavatam class. So and then the second, so this is Jagrata. Second is Swapna, the dreaming stage. So when you sleep, stage is sushupti, or deep sleep, in which there is no dream or you can't remember anything. So these stages are there of existence. So in Bhagavad Gita, in its purports, Prabhupada explains that how actually all these stages are pretty much like dream, although we categorize them as wakefulness, dreaming and deep sleep. But if you are just on the material platform without any knowledge of spiritual platform, then everything is like a dream. Only difference is one is the night dream, one is the day dream. At the night you dream something, oh I'm here and there. Then in the day, the materialist, he wakes up, so-called he wakes up, and then he daydreams. Okay, I am a man, I have to work, and I'm this, I'm that. So this is also a dream. So what happens to, dream means temporary. The nature of dream, that's the main characteristic of a dream, means it is temporary. And the reality has to be permanent. So this is the logic. So the night dream we can easily see. Okay, why do we call it dream? Everyone calls it dream because it's temporary. What happened doesn't matter much, you know, whatever good or bad was. Then you wake up and start with your activities. So same way, in a bigger picture, if you see the whole life, in the wakefulness, someone, you know, has relationships, all these activities, works in this world, tries to help others, and then what happens at the death? Everything's finished. You know, so we don't remember our past lives. So was that a reality? No, that was also a dream. So what is the reality? So reality is on this spiritual platform. So that's the fourth stage, or the turiya, the fourth stage, or the transcendental stage, in which we transcend these three modes of material nature: mode of goodness, mode of passion, and mode of ignorance. So that is the real stage of existence. So in that stage, we can actually understand what's our real permanent identity. So we are the spirit soul and we are subservient to the supreme soul or Krishna. So what's the function of a servant? In this world, of course, we have the servant word is in a derogatory way. We hear that a servant means, oh, it's just low position. But on the spiritual platform, servant is the highest position. So Krishna wants to serve also. God also wants to be on the servant position. He is not happy to be God. He wants to, in his highest enjoyment stage, he wants to be a servant. That's why he serves as a chariot driver to Arjuna. He serves as a devotee, or as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he serves his various devotees. So that's on the fourth platform, this transcendental platform. So how to reach there is by following these instructions given in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. And very simple, this process of yoga and meditation, we can easily reach to that fourth stage of existence, which is the reality. Otherwise, what happens on this material stage, it gets very sticky. So sticky means we get attached. So in Bhagavad Gita it says, and of course in we hear in Christianity also, it says, so this is material world, so what to do? We have to live here. But you live in this world, and at the same time don't be off this world. Don't be touched by these material qualities, because they degrade our existence. So how to do that is Krishna suggests in Bhagavad Gita that Brahmanadaya karmani sangam tyaktva karotiya lipyate na sa papena padma patram evambasa. So he says, like a lotus leaf, it's always in water but it's never touched by water. So that's how. So we have to become spiritually very strong by this sadhana bhakti process, all this hearing, chanting, association with devotees, deity worship, residing in a holy place. So what all these angas of bhakti, what they do is make us spiritually so strong that we won't be affected by the material qualities. So that's the secret. Otherwise it's like whatever we do on the material platform, it just binds us more and more. It's as we were discussing, it's like a sticky position, very like, you know, the example is given like there is a tar, a molten tar, you know, which is used sometimes to cover these roads, different roads, this black tar. When it's molten due to heat, it's very sticky. And imagine you are standing on a big piece of this molten tar. So it's very sticky position. You try to take one foot off and you get your hands stuck in there. And so it's very, so in the world we always, people say, okay, once I get this job and that's it, I'll be steady. And then when you get the job, you find yourself stuck in some other position. My father actually used to say that, my grandfather always used to say, oh, just when this happens and then I'll be satisfied. And he said that till the end of his life. So it never happened. So it never happens because it's sticky. On the material platform, it's always sticky. But on the spiritual platform, you can actually externally do the same things. Of course, we have to work, we have to maintain the body, we have to study in our, we have to follow all these responsibilities, but at the same time, we do them as much as required, and not identify that, oh, this is my eternal position. So that's what Krishna recommends, that please remember this example of the lotus leaf. That when we see these examples in nature, and how these Krishna and different acharyas, they give us these examples, then we can have faith that, oh yes, it's possible. And we have examples, these cases in the past and present of all these expert people who are doing that, who have done it in past. So this last bit of this purport, I'll just finish this off now. Here Prabhupada continues, the Lord, being all that is described above, maintains the affairs of the creation, and by his so doing, he gives salvation even to his enemies who are killed by him. He is attractive even to the topmost liberated soul, and thus he is worshipable even by Brahma and Shiva, the greatest of all demigods. Even in his incarnation of Purusha avatars, he is Lord of the creative energy. The creative material energy is working under his direction as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9.10. He is the control switch of the material energy. And to control the material energy in the innumerable universes, he is the root cause of innumerable incarnations in all the universes. There are more than 500,000 incarnations of Manu in only one universe, besides other incarnations in different universes. In the spiritual world, however, beyond the Mahatattva, there is no question of incarnations, but there are plenary expansions of the Lord in different Vaikunthas. The planets in the spiritual sky are at least three times the number of those within the innumerable universes in the Mahatattva. And all the Narayan forms of the Lord are but expansions of his Vasudev feature, and thus he is Vasudev, Narayan and Krishna simultaneously. He is Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari, He Nath Narayana Vasudeva, all in one. The qualities therefore cannot be counted by anyone, however great one may be. So that's the end of purport. So here we see that how these various expansions of Krishna are there. So these expansions prove that how Krishna is complete. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. What was the verse? Anyone remembers? Purna Sapurnam. So there Krishna says that Supreme Personality of Godhead is perfect and complete, and whatever emanates from him is also perfect and complete. So So one may question that this universe that we have is incomplete then, because there's so much violence, cruelty, irreligion present. So how can these things emanate from Supreme Person? So that's why people become atheists, because they cannot relate these activities that are going on. That I'm a good person, God is all good, then why am I suffering? Why can't he help me? That means there is no God, or he was there and now he's not present. He's gone on a holiday and forgotten me, left me alone with my struggles. So no, that's not the fact. So in this purport we saw that there is darkness and there is light. So as we saw, the example of sun is given. That sun is there and we can be in light, but if someone chooses to stay locked in a room which is totally dark, so then that's his choice, his or her choice. So he or she can go out and just enjoy the sun or take the light. But if one wants to stay in darkness, then what can be done? So that's why these descriptions are given, that Krishna has so many expansions, and all expansions, they are Krishna Surya Sama. All these expansions are like sun and they give light. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andhakar Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Maya Radhikar. So if we always face towards Krishna, means if we always serve Krishna, we are always in association with devotees of Krishna, we always hear about Krishna, then there is no question of Maya or illusion or suffering. So that's what here we see. So we have to read about these qualities and we will be attracted. As we see that, as we were discussing that, these qualities means we want to make a relationship. So in this world, when people describe their qualities, they may not be true all the time. So we had, I remember, I was born, brought up in Delhi, and there's near my house, there's a very famous photography studio. The name is Prem Studio. So it should be Calm Studio actually. But anyway, so what they used to do was, people would come to them and they would put all the makeup, men and women both, and take a picture, very nice, glossy picture. And then with their technical computer softwares, they would even enhance the beauty more. So already they put some makeup, artificial makeup, lot of it, and then with the computer, they would just create an image which would be totally different to the actual person, And there were many other studios like that. And then they would send that picture to whatever person they want to marry, And they would see, oh wow. So what happened? So they continued doing that, and then later people would realize, oh no, picture was totally different. This person is totally different. They lied. And then it was in news actually one time, and people stopped accepting those pictures from one of these studios. So people want to fake it, that we don't have those qualities, but we want to fake it. We go for a job interview sometimes. They say, oh, yeah, I know everything. I did also actually one time. The first paid job I got, and so someone taught me that you go, you just, or whatever is the job, what's that? The job description, job ad, you become that. Whether you are, you just act like that. So I did that. They asked and I said, yes. And I got that job, but soon they realized I didn't know much. So, but of course, sometimes, we have to do all these things, little bit here and there. But the point is, Krishna doesn't fake it. When he says, oh, he has all these qualities, it's 100% true. And he has these qualities to the fullest extent. So then we can actually be attracted to such a beautiful person who has so many qualities. And we see all these, we hear this Naam, Guna, Rupa and Leela. So all these are personal. So they are all connected because Krishna is absolute. So all these are absolute. So Naam is non-different from Krishna's Rupa and the qualities. So when we chant Hare Krishna very attentively, these qualities would be revealed. In the sense, we can read the list here, 40 qualities are given. We can read them, but it may not have an impact. But if we chant the holy name very attentively, then we can see in our daily life that how Krishna is, powerful. Oh, Krishna, help me. We can have a very, if we are very conscious and attentive while chanting, that means we will be conscious and attentive throughout the day. Then we can see, oh, Krishna protected me here this way, like that. So it's all connected. So Krishna's quality will be revealed, his form will be revealed. His form is present here, we see, but the beauty, the real beauty would be revealed if we chant nicely, we hear about these qualities. And then when we know all these qualities and we know these beautiful attributes of Krishna, then what happens? Then we can enter into the Leela. So Leela means relationship. What's Leela means? Pastime. In pastime, what's happening is Krishna is interacting with devotees. Means the devotee has realized that what his specific relationship is there in respect to Krishna, and then in the pastime they are interacting. So all these are connected. When we chant nicely, when we know the qualities of Lord and we see this beautiful form of Lord, so slowly by purification we can enter into these pastimes and understand who we actually are in relation to Krishna. What is our specific duty? So that's the purpose of describing all these qualities. So I would like to end there, and I'll ask if you have any questions or comments. Okay. I didn't prepare much, but in just a couple of minutes we can discuss that. Ishwara Puri was spiritual master of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So Radha Rani is the ultimate guru, Krishna is of course the supreme guru. Then why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accept a guru? So that's to set an example. And Ishwara Puri completely is in complete knowledge. He understands that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still he acts as a spiritual master because that's his relationship, that's his rasa. So we read in Chaitanya Charitamrita that how before appearance, Krishna as well did that. He asked all the demigods and other personalities to descend on earth before he comes. So all those who descend before him would be his elders, and he can reciprocate with them in that fashion. So same way, before appearing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all these personalities like Advaita Acharya, Sachi Mata and Ishwara Puri, they all descended before him, so that then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, they can interact and reciprocate with him in that way. So Ishwara Puri is a perfect example of spiritual master as well as disciple. We see when Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri is the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. So he had another disciple called, his name was Ramachandra Puri. So he was total nonsense. And so at the end of his life, Madhavendra Puri was lying on his bed, and he was crying in separation of Krishna. And then Ramachandra Puri approached him and said, "Why are you crying? You should, your spiritual on the spiritual platform, you should be prasanna, fully happy. Don't cry. Just be happy." Talking about Brahmananda. So he chastised him and told him, "Just get lost from here. Never come in front of me." But on the other hand, Ishwara Puri, he set an example as a perfect disciple. He was menially serving Madhavendra Puri, and then he received his mercy. And we can see that, of course, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as his spiritual master. So I haven't prepared much about his other pastime. संस्कार श्रीमद् भागवतम की, श्रील प्रभुपाद की, गीता गौर प्रेमानंद।